celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
Well, thanks, big guy. I might want to try a little toothpaste or something. He has a little bit of bad breath. Have you noticed that?
I don't get that close to him.
On the big show today, we're going to talk to this guy who put his GoPro camera on his dog and then left for the day.
I've always wanted to do that.
And the dog went absolutely ballistic. This is actually a viral video that has over 6 million views. And if you want to see it before we speak to him, head on over to our Facebook page. It is posted up over there. And he's actually a DJ, I believe.
Yes, he is.
A radio host. So. Mm-hmm. Always fun to have a fellow radio host on the show. Tammy Trujillo working so hard in the newsroom. What do you got coming up in this cast?
Well, you know, we've always got to be concerned about our health, right?
Sure.
You know, do all kinds of preventative measures to make sure that, you know, everything goes right. Well, someday your doctor may hand you a prescription and on it it'll say, get a cat.
Ooh, I like that.
And you can even probably get your health insurance to cover it. Maybe we're talking a little crazy here, but there's a really good reason why it just might happen.
Huh. That's interesting.
I know, huh?
Yeah.
I'm listening for that. Okay, that's on the way. How about we take your calls right now? Let's see. Jacob, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, and you?
Very well. Where are you calling from today?
Well, I'm truck driving here in Wyoming.
I feel for you, man. It's lots
windy
of
windy out here.
Wind and lots of flat, I imagine.
Yeah.
So what's going on with your dog? Or cat, or iguana. What is it?
Yeah. Well, my wife and I have a 10-year-old smooth fox terrier.
Okay.
And, she's been a very active, athletic dog up until, I'd say, a month and a half ago. And she has developed a honking-type cough. And the toughest part right now is throughout the night, she'll... go through these spells.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, during the day, my wife is wondering, you know, why is she sleeping? Well, she's not getting sleep at night.
Right.
From my research, my wife, and then we have gone to the vet. There's a high suspicion that it's a collapsing trachea.
Okay. And is she having any other symptoms at all as far as any weight loss, any other problems? Is she eating okay?
Well, I mean, you know, she's still eating. She's seems to be a little more picky now, surprising, because she would engulf her food so fast that she would let out a burp any drunk would.
She likes her food and doesn't mind the unladylike behaviors there. So she's coughing, and so do you feel that in general that she's, besides this cough at night, that she seems to have, you know, some slowing down, not eating well? Do you perceive that?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
You know, of course, her favorite thing in the world is a handball, a blue ball, and mm-hmm. we had to put it away because as soon as she gets excited, she'll start hacking.
Okay. All right. So tell me what has been done for her so far, and is there anything you're pursuing right now?
Well, here's the tough part. My wife did, you know, take the dog to the vet, probably about a month ago, to kind of beg them to prescribe a medication for her cough. What
okay.
they're looking at is, of course, the first thing they were looking at was a blood panel for about $150.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went back, they said, well, we definitely would have to do x-rays to confirm. So that's another visit plus the x-rays. That's $190. And from what I gather, there is no cure. There's only
Okay, I'm going to back you up here, Jacob, because we don't have a diagnosis yet, and that's part of my concern is prescribing something for what we don't really know what condition is going on. And the reason I'm kind of backpedaling here is because if we're going to presume that a dog has something like genetic or something anatomical, say like a collapsing trachea, that kind of problem tends to be present throughout their lifetime. And it doesn't, unless we're in extreme situations, it doesn't really cause them a decrease in their quality of life. So for me, if I am presented with a pet that is coughing and especially can't make it through the night, and maybe we're off on food a little bit, And this kind of behavior hasn't been present throughout their lifetime. It really warrants looking into. So I would concur with your veterinarian that I think those tests are very sound things to do to get us a better feel what we're up against. Because throw in a cough suppressant at her if she's having some kind of heart problems developing could be a very detrimental or even fatal thing. So we want to make sure we're treating the right thing and giving you the right pills. So, you know, definitely, you know, these type of tests, there are fees with them, and those aren't terribly off. You know, I'd say in the area that I practice, you know, you're still, you know, maybe we're probably like $20 less on some of those things than what you had mentioned. But still, those are pretty valid fees there. So, you know, if you need to pick and go ahead.
If they were to, let's say, run a blood panel, and then they found the specifics. It's almost like a human being. They're looking at specifics on the chemical.
Sure.
On let's say a heart problem. Would they just, you know, pretty much rule out the trachea and say, well, you know, unfortunately her ticker is in rice, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, it depends on how we want to approach it and how much suspicion the veterinarian has. Now, there's times when I'm listening to a dog's heart and I'll say, you know, there's something really wacky going on right here. And it can kind of help me to encourage a pet owner that I have a strong index of a suspicion that there's something we're going to find. So for me, sometimes I'll pick an x-ray first over blood work. Sometimes I think it's prudent to do both of those at the same time. And I probably can't say specifically in your pet situation what the case may be, but I would definitely think that, you know, what you're describing sounds like we do need to get some kind of diagnostics to decide that and to see, are we going to be going down the respiratory pathway or are we looking at more of a heart-based problem? And because the medicines are different and, you know, even if you're not looking at doing a lot of really crazy tests, those are two basic things that I would say are going to help your veterinarian and determine what is the best course of action to go.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
There's a little, yeah, oh yeah, definitely. There's a, you know, unfortunately, there's a little hesitancy based on kind of her treatment in the past of these stupid allergies, you know. And 1 year she took a shot that really worked excellent throughout the summer. And then the following year, it was like the same supposed shot lasted maybe a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a horrific incident. My brother had a purebred lab that I guess she wasn't feeling well, but they took her to the vet. It was a different vet. And they said, you know, everything looks great. And the next day, the dog dropped dead.
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, Jacob, sometimes it's a matter of also just kind of, if you're not feeling that relationship with the veterinarian, definitely. I admire and I definitely think it's every pet owner's right to seek a second opinion. So you might just be time to maybe pick up the phone, check around, and if you're not feeling it with your regular vet, you know, see if someone else has a different opinion. But I can tell you my opinion is that I think that what they're recommending certainly sounds good, and it sounds like something, you know, we need to at least embrace some testing in some format. So I hope your baby does okay with that. And there's definitely things we can try. If we do have, say, a collapsing trachea or some other chronic respiratory problem, there's cough suppressants. Sometimes there's bronchodilators that help to open the airways. And, you know, even sometimes antibiotics are indicated. So there's a lot of things we might be able to do. I'd say we just need to take that first step and get your baby back to the vet.
Hey, thanks for your call, Jacob. Hey, Richard, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Where are you calling from today?
Miles, Iowa.
Miles, Iowa. Well, Dr. Debbie's here. How can we help you?
Well, our dog has... Dogs. Has what?
I said dog. Well, dog.
Have what? Here, you talk, Rebecca.
Oh, no.
They got stuff in their ear.
Crusty, and okay. The one yells when you touch your ear.
My wife says it's crusty looking. Is it white or black or green?
Like little white lumps.
Little white lumps.
Okay.
And it's crusty. And the dog yelps with you.
And the dog, like, yelps just a little if you touch your ear.
Now, you mentioned you have more than one dog, and they both have the same problem?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a little problematic for me, because in general, when we talk about ear problems in dogs, there's not a lot of things that are really contagious, and if I'm from Vegas, so if I'm going to put my gambling chips on the line, I'm going to say it's a little unusual to have something in both dogs that isn't contagious. So the number one thing I'd really go looking for is ear mites, which are a contagious parasite that can cause ear problems, a lot of itchiness, discomfort, very scratchy pets when they have that. But there are other things, and we look at anything from infections of yeast, bacteria, to little foxtails, those little plant plant parts that work their way in the ears. So if both pets are in the same environment, yeah, I guess they could get those. But I really want to check out your pets and see if they might have something like ear mites. And that's something easily done. You walk into your local veterinary office and you ask them to take a sample of that and look at it under the microscope. And, oh, cool stuff moves around when we find ear mites. So if it is something like that, it is very treatable.
They're pretty much indoor dogs. You know, we just let them out to go to the bathroom, and they're chained up. It's not like they run through any fields or...
And usually for something like ear mites, it is contagious between pets. So if there's a new animal in the home, whether it's a rabbit, a cat, or a dog, if they're sharing the same environment, then that could be contagious. Now, if they're not running at large and they don't really have contact with other pets, maybe it's less likely. But either which way, the number one thing I'm going to want to have to help answer this question is really to get a sample of that and look under a microscope. Because that's really the heart of where we start with these type of problems. I could list a million products to have you go purchase and put in your pet's ear, but it'll be just as worthless as flushing the toilet.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Don't forget you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. Download it now. It's made possible by Fear-Free Happy Homes, helping your pets live their happiest, healthiest, fullest lives at home, at the vet, and everywhere in between. Visit them at fearfreehappyhomes.com.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. That's 800-475-3351.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Boy, that is one big dog on your lap there. Dr. Debbie has Boss on her lap.
You're making fun of him. He's got a big personality but little size.
He's not that big, Hal. He's medium.
Well, when you put him next to Ladybug,
well,
he's much bigger. Yeah. Ladybug's so small, so
it doesn't
tiny.
Take much to make a big dog next to Ladybug.
I've seen dogs that make Ladybug look big.
There have been a few.
Let's answer calls for Dr. Debbie and groomer Joey Villani. We have Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Hal.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. What's going on with your animals?
My little dog has really bad breath.
Little dog has bad breath.
So what kind of dog?
Bad breath. He's a little Chihuahua, Karen Terrier mix.
And how old is he?
She will be 3 years old this month.
Okay. All righty. So, I'll tell you, the bad breath. I mean, we talk about doggy breath. And there's three top things that I think of when I have someone who's talking about bad breath in their dogs.
Uh-huh. Okay.
First one is dental disease.
Okay.
Second one is dental disease.
And, really?
And the third one is dental disease.
I'm writing all three down too.
Yes. Well, and it's just a known fact. By 2 years of age, over 75% of dogs and cats already have some degree of dental disease present.
Yeah,
and we may not always see it. It may not be something that's jumping out at us, but it is there. And the reason is really because the teeth are, there's above the gum line and below the gum line. And only 40% of the tooth is above the gum line, what you can see.
Okay.
So that means that there is processes going on underneath the gum line. So we have bacterial film, we get plaque buildup, and then we get this, you know, more mineralized tartar with time. Mm-hmm. So, especially in a Chihuahua, because they do have a lot of typical dental problems. So, at that age, I would certainly be talking about doing a dental cleaning.
Okay.
And it's more than just, you know, if there's not a lot of tartar, there's other stuff we do. So, we do full oral charting, and that means we're basically going to kind of probe under the gum lines. We're going to look for pockets along the teeth, which can indicate periodontal disease, and a lot of times we'll get odor from bacteria down in those pockets.
Okay.
So that's an important thing. And also, you know, the veterinarian will check and make sure the tonsils look good, that there's no masses or anything like that. That could be contributing to the odor.
Okay.
And, you know, and I do make jests, saying everything's due to dental disease, but
right.
The other types of things that can cause bad breath tend to be more medical in nature. So we might be looking at, you know, GI disease, gastric reflux. We might have something like diabetes or kidney disease, sinus infections, things like that. So those in a younger dog, we might think a little less of, and I definitely would focus my radar on the dental health.
Okay. My friend recommended giving my dog greenies. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think that's something that we can use to go along with complete oral care, but it is not a replacement for dental cleanings or for, you know, other types of home care. So once I do have a dog that had his teeth cleaned, then I definitely do follow up with whatever we can do at home to help him stay clean and also to keep, you know, the bacteria and the odor.
Does that include, like, brushing teeth?
Absolutely. And the best thing that can be done for home care is teeth brushing. That's the best thing. And we want to do that every couple days because the soft kind of plaque will become mineralized within about 3 days if we don't dislodge it. So
can we get real just for just a second? Do you do that with Boss?
You know what? I do have a toothbrush, and we do brush his teeth, but the frequency of which is not what I recommend.
Okay.
So
just checking.
It's my husband's job. I will say that.
Okay.
He's the one supposed to be doing that. So, but yes, that's the best thing you can do. But there are some other great home care products, some through your veterinarian, and then some might be over the counter. And your veterinarian will have products that have ingredients like chlorhexidine, which is a anti microbial solution that you can apply to the gums, and it helps to decrease the odor and the bacteria in the mouth and can help to keep that plaque from building up. So there's a lot of different forms for that.
Okay.
Also, some of the oral products that contain zinc can be used for bad breath, and it basically is because zinc interferes with the bacterial proliferation, so it therefore helps with the odor associated with dental disease. Mm-hmm. So those kind of things, and you can, you know, certainly talk to your veterinarian about some great products out there. There's MaxiGuard gel. There's the CHX or CET line through the veterinarian. But if you need help kind of going through the over-the-counter type of products, you can go to a very useful website. It's the Veterinary Oral Health Council website, and it's the www.vohc.org. And you can look at products, and those go through some of the things, like you mentioned, greenies, some different dental diets, some chews, and the ones that have actually been shown by veterinary dentists to be of some use. And I say some use. So again, we want to use that along with home brushing and other things.
Okay. So I need to go get a toothbrush for my dog.
Yeah. What about that stuff that you find, the liquid stuff at the, like, the pet store that you put in with their water? Is that a waste of money, or does that work?
You know, there are some that can be helpful, and I'm not sure about what the over-the-counter ones are, but there is one, a veterinary one called CET's Aquadent, and that actually can help to decrease bacterial products and also the tartar accumulation. So there are some that can be useful. So, you know, I would certainly either ask your veterinarian what you currently have, what they have, or, you know, visit that website to see about some of these other products.
Okay.
Well, a lot of answers there, Lisa. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Good luck on that. Good luck on the bad breath with that dog there.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Thousands of authors across the country have written books and published them with Page Publishing. If you've written a book, they can help you through the process, cut through the confusion of the publishing world to make it easy for you. If they decide to publish your book, your work ends, theirs begins. From copy editing and proofing to typesetting and book cover art. Plus, get your book printed, distributed, and sold on Amazon, Apple Books, Barnes & Noble, and in bookstores across the country. They even help promote your book. Biography, self-help, mystery, novels, sci-fi, or even a children's book, no matter what genre. Page Publishing can bring your book to life. And don't forget to ask about audiobooks. We do all of this for you. Call today for your free writer's guide packed with tips, tricks, and templates to help you finish what you started.
800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. That's 800-215-6815.
Hi, this is Judith Chapman from Young and the Restless at CBS, and I'm on Animal Radio right now, and I'm asking everyone out there to please spay and neuter your pets.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Tammy Trujillo. You know, one day doctors might actually write you a prescription for a pet, and your insurance might even cover it. Doesn't that sound great? It actually could happen. I would be in heaven. It could happen because there's more and more proof that animals can be very beneficial to our health. Most of the studies done involve dogs. They're best known as therapy animals. And it's been proven that interacting with dogs can lower blood pressure and reduce stress hormones. Cats, though, can be very therapeutic as well, especially when dealing with the heart. A study done over 20 years found that both past and current cat guardians were significantly more likely to survive a heart attack than people who had never taken care of a cat. So get more cats, take care of your heart, works out. Now, you might remember this dog, Excalibur. He was the dog who was euthanized in Spain after his guardian, Teresa Romero, came down with Ebola. While she was in the hospital recovering, health authorities euthanized Excalibur despite pleas from her husband and thousands of signatures on an online petition to save him. The family's now adopted another dog, an American Stafford Terrier. They've named her Alma, which is Spanish for soul. The family's not forgetting Excalibur, though, not any way. They have sued for compensation for the loss of the dog they say was like a child to them. But in adopting Alma, they say they wanted the world to realize there are many, many abandoned animals out there that need a new home. There is this cat in Tampa, Florida named Bart, and he can only be called a miracle cat. Bart was hit by a car, and his guardians thought he was dead, so they buried him. Well, as unbelievable as this sounds, 5 days later, Bart showed up in the neighbor's yard. Bart had actually dug his way out of his grave and slowly made it back as close to home as he could possibly do it. Bart was weak and dehydrated and needed some serious medical attention for the injuries he'd gotten when he was hit. Now, the owner said they couldn't afford to fix his broken jaw and deal with his damaged eye, so the local Humane Society there is taking care of him. And they say this very courageous black and white cat is going to recover, and they are going to work on finding him a new and wonderful home. I'm Tammy Trujillo. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
Hey, this is Sean Hayes on Animal Radio. Remember to spay and neuter your pets.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio, and we are celebrating the connection with your pets. And it is time for my favorite part of the show, the hero, because I always just love hearing about people doing good things for the animals. And if you know somebody that's doing great for the animals, nominate them. Send us an email, or Judy, send Judy an email to yourvoice@animalradio.com, yourvoice@animalradio.com. And this week's hero, kind of fun because she not only rescues animals, but she rescues giant breed dogs. And wow, we welcome Candace Bright to the show. She's the founder and president of Gentle Giants Rescue. Hi, how are you doing, Candace?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Very good. So now you have a thing for the bigger dogs, don't you?
Yeah, I love those giant breeds. I love all animals, but the giants, they really tug on my heartstrings.
Well, you not only rescue them, but some of them are handicapped, ill, or neglected, have been neglected, or unwanted, or disabled. Tell us about some of the animals you have under your care.
Yes, we had our first special needs rescue was in 2007. He was a very ill and blind Great Pyrenees. We named him Blizzard. He was dying of double pneumonia, but we managed to, you know, get him back on his feet. And he was our poster boy and my personal dog. Unfortunately, Blizzard passed away in April. But that really, he really set the tone for the special needs.
Are giant breeds hard to get adopted out of shelters?
Yes.
Why is that?
You know, well, you know, a lot of people, there's nothing cuter than, you know, a St. Bernard puppy or a Great Pyrenees or a Newfie. Uh-huh. And then they get big. You know, a lot of people, they just buy. They impulse, oh, wow, I want that puppy. And they buy it, and then they grow up really big. You know, and a lot of times they're not trained. You know, when you get a 150, 200-pound dog jumping on you, he's going to knock you over. They shed, they slobber, and people don't want that. Everything costs more for a giant breed, you know, the food, the vetting, yeah, everything. Anything for a giant is more expensive. And a lot of times people don't want to get their heart wrapped around an older dog. And then, you know, God forbid you could lose it. The giants are harder. They're, mm-hmm, they're way harder to place.
Do you have facilities?
No, we're all foster based. My dream is to open a sanctuary, you know, buy like a farm. And I don't want a kennel. I don't want concrete and steel. I want, you know, like, you know, little mini condos for them in a refurbished barn or something. That's my dream.
How many people work with you?
You know, we're a very, very small group. Here in New Jersey, it's myself and three main volunteers. I do 90% of everything. I have foster homes in a couple different states, you know, and I have a lot of friends across the country who help me pull dogs out of shelters. And I use Wheels for Paws, or paid transport, out of North Carolina. They are wonderful. I worked with them a year ago when I got three of the dogs from the now closed Olympic Animal Sanctuary.
Is this your full-time job?
What I do... Well, I'm married. I have three sons, two grandbabies, and two more grandbabies on the way. I did childcare from my home for 25 years. But once I found out I was going to be a grandma, I wanted to be able to watch my grandchildren for my kids. I work a part-time waitress job for the past quite a few years, since 05. And any money that I make goes, I work it for the rescue, to bring money into the rescue.
So what do you think about Craigslist?
I think it's horrible, not only for animals, but for people. You know, all the, you know, the couple was just murdered going to buy a car. It was a ruse. People selling dogs on Craigslist, giving them away for free is worse. You never know where they're going to end up, in the hands of, you know, bait dogs for dog fighting, or like Puppy Doe. She was just tortured just, you know, for the thrill of torturing her. I think it's horrible.
So you suggest we don't look for animals on Craigslist, or put our animals on Craigslist, right?
I would say I wish Craigslist would just do away. I wish you weren't allowed to post any animals on Craigslist. Backyard breeders, puppy mills, they're all on there. And, you know, it's just the people trolling, looking for dogs. Like I said, dog fighting's really big in this country. Mm-hmm. And puppies and disabled, a lot of them are the ones that, you know, and cats for bait. It's horrible.
Well, I encourage listeners to check out your website, gentlegiantsinc.org, and I congratulate you for all the work that you've done, and you are our hero of the week.
Woo-hoo. Oh, thank you so much.
Let's head to the phones. We have Sherry on the phones. Hey, Sherry, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. What's going on in your world?
Well, I got a brand new puppy about 3 weeks ago, a teacup chihuahua.
Oh, wow. Oh. Little guy.
Yes, his name is Sophie. And I noticed after I had her for just a short time that the tips of her ears were curling backwards. Hmm. And at first I thought it was really cute because it reminded me of, like, the little pixie shoes. But now they're really turning backwards. And I did some research and it said some things, but I want to double check with you because I don't always believe what I read on the internet.
Well, that's a good policy to have, definitely. You got to be a little skeptical.
You mean you're saying I shouldn't believe everything I see on the internet? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No.
So, yeah, so we do see this in some breeds of puppies where the ear tips curl kind of backward. And it's usually something that they will grow out of. Now, when I got to ask, when you got her, were her ears, were they standing erect at that point?
They almost were, and then within just about 5 days, they turned up again, and then and everything was fine. And then they just I just noticed just a real slight curl, and then now they're really curling. So I mess with them, you know. I try to, and people say pin them and everything. If I pinned her ears, she'd be at them in a second. So I was like.
Yeah. You know, and the honest truth is that in most dogs, this will return to normal. It may not be for many weeks or even several months, but usually by the time we're about 6 to 7 months old, especially if those ears have been up and you saw them go into that erect state at one point and they just kind of curl back after that, they're going to go back. You just got to give it time. Now, yes, you can do taping, and there are definitely oodles of resources that you can look at for taping, but normally Chihuahua ears do stand on their own. So we really don't have a lot of concern that we need to do that. If it is done, I have had people that I will just advise them to stick to something simple, like cutting a little bit of mole skin and kind of affixing that to the inside of the ear to give it a little bit of extra upright rigidity. But really, I mean, it's just an aesthetic thing. And yeah, it is kind of cute the way they curl backwards like that. So I would say enjoy
She weighs all of a pound and 2 ounces, and her ears are huge, and just curl backwards. It's the cutest thing in the world.
Yeah, I'd say enjoy the photos now because, you know, the chances are they're going to get better. But, yeah, there's a lot of thoughts, you know, in these young pups, you know, if there's some kind of bodily inflammation going on, whether they be, you know, they're cutting teeth or that they have some kind of that's the common thing you'll probably hear on the internet is that, you know, while they're losing their teeth, their ears. And I think it's just a timing thing. But there's also I've even had dogs where we've had heavy worm infestations, and that's just an inflammation in the body. And, you know, the ears kind of could be the thing. So as long as you've worked with your veterinarian, she's in good health, you're deworming her. Otherwise, I'd say just give it time and enjoy the baby's cute little ears.
Okay, I'll do that. Thanks for your call.
Thanks for your call, Sherry. We appreciate it.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, this is Doug Gray of the Marshall Tucker Band, and forever you'll always be listening to Animal Radio. Keep loving those pets.
How would you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance, and in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs, so whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-689-0143. 800-689-0143. 800-689-0143. That's 800-689-0143.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
Apparently, over across the pond, they use muzzles more than we do here. And it's strange because there seems like so many applications. Like, we get the call every week about the dog that gets in the trash when you leave the house.
Oh, and the dogs that I take for a walk that eat poop and stuff along the way.
Along the way?
Yes.
Oh.
It's just more responsible being in control of your animals.
Yes. Absolutely. And we welcome back to the show Dr. Mugford. How are you doing, Doctor?
I'm doing very well, Hal. Hi, Judy. Hi, Debbie. Yeah, I think muzzles are just so good for dogs because it gives them a second chance. I'm talking about the biting variety.
Sure.
You know, I'd like to think there was a muzzle we could fit on people, you know, the Hannibal Lecter. Because we lock up bad people and we do nothing with them. They just rot in a cell. And with the Baskerville Ultra muzzle, which is the one I designed, we give dogs a second chance to come out into the world, to meet other dogs, to meet people, to receive treats through the front section of the muzzle, and to pant and to drink and to lead a pretty well normal life, but they can't bite. Mm. And that's what we want of people, isn't it? We want people who don't go around biting. So,
what is it that the UK guys already are always using these, but we're not using them here? What is with
well,
that?
I did introduce them to the US, and you can now buy them in the stores, many pet stores, and they're called the Baskerville Ultra.
Uh-huh.
And they're in blue packaging boxes. And there's a picture of my lovely Labrador dog up on the top left-hand side. And as it happens, he doesn't need a muzzle. But actually, he is one of those, being a Labrador, who would pick up poops and do the things that you described as well. So it's useful for that. But the main application is to give aggressive dogs, or dogs that just might be aggressive, and you need to test and evaluate them if you're a professional behaviorist like me, fit the muzzle, introduce it to other dogs or people. All goes well, then take the muzzle off and, who knows, throw it away. And the special thing about the Ultra is that it is really comfortable. It can be shaped by putting in hot water, then cold water.
Oh, wow.
Shaped to fit the physiognomy, the head shape of the dog. And that's really important, of course, because we don't want dogs to be miserable while they're wearing a muzzle.
Well, I think here in the United States, people think it's inhumane that you're treating your dog cruelly if you put something
Heck
like
no.
this on.
Yeah, and actually, to be fair, a lot of the muzzles that have been around and still are around in the States, they're made of fabric. Basically, it's a sort of glorified sock with a toe cut off. And you shove them around at the dog's muzzle, and it can't open its muzzle, and therefore it can't bite. But also, the obvious thing is it can't pant. And if they can't pant, they're going to overheat, because 90% of the heat loss from the dog is through that little miraculous little gland in its nose. So, no panting, no cooling, therefore overheated dog and very uncomfortable and soon distressed and maybe dead dog. So that type of muzzle, frankly, should be banned. They're really only suitable for the shortest of examinations, maybe at the vets or the groomers. Mm-hmm. But for wearing, running around, particularly in hot climates or in any kind of exercise, you need a Baskerville Ultra.
Well, I have a suggestion to make them look more appealing.
I think I did make some sexy pink ones.
Yeah,
and blue
see,
ones.
That's what I was going to say. That's what we need. I want one to match my dog's leash or to match her outfits and color coordinate the red, the pink, the blue, the purple.
I went to enormous trouble and enormous expense, and I even made little flowers that you could stick on them as well.
I love it.
Oh, that is
just
great.
Like you can with my Crocs, and I shouldn't mention another brand. Crocs shoes, and it was a flop. People just aren't. They just want muzzles that blend into the color of their dog.
That's what I was going to say. Like a camouflage one that will fit the color and type of my dog's hair. I think that would be cool. Yeah.
See, I think the colors would be a hit in the U.S.
Oh, I think you're much more adventurous with colors, and you're quite right. But we did try, as I say, pink and sky blue. But maybe we'll go for purple. And that'll be the one for the States. But meanwhile, you can get them in black, black, and black, which is a great Henry Ford color.
Any one of those three.
And we're about to introduce a sort of pucey brown color. And I'll bear in mind, and we'll produce some really exotica ones with stripes and things like that. But the important thing is, functionally, they can't hurt. And do you know what? Months ago, I did some tests. I went to kennels where there's some really, really mean dogs that have all been seized by the police for doing bad things. And I had a pit bull, a German shepherd, and a Rottweiler trying to rip my balls off, so to speak. And they didn't succeed, and here I am. It's some great video, and if anyone goes to our website, they can see me having bits of me being attempted to be removed by dogs wearing our muzzles. So they really are, if you like, crash-tested.
Yeah, so to speak.
So you're the guinea pig, huh?
You put your life on the line. That's good.
Well, we're not just talk over here. In this little old company of animals that I'm the boss of, we are very hands-on. I'm a farmer. I've got animals all around me, a constant stream of dogs with problems coming through, dogs for training too. So all of our gear has been tested for real on dogs that matter a lot to people.
And you.
And you.
And me. Oh, no, they all matter. I'm nuts about dogs. As are you, and that's why we get along so good. The muzzles are also really useful for treatment at the vets, you know, the stress situation.
Oh, yeah, like that's a great idea.
The vets or the groomers. It's such a shame to see dogs that are taped up with bandage and, you know, treated in an unkind way. It should be a pleasure going to veterinarians and likewise groomers and other stress situations. One of the reasons why muzzles are so much more common over here is that we have this fear of dogs and of being bitten by dogs. And I tell you, there's a lot of things worse in life than being bitten by a dog. And it happens to me from time to time. On lots of public transports in Italy, particularly on all the ferry services and in Greece, dogs have to be muzzled at all times, which is why most European dog owners own a muzzle.
You know, the UK is so far ahead of us.
Yeah, I was in Chicago a couple of weeks ago, and down at the dog parks and in restaurants, and all sorts of public buildings, and dogs were so welcome. Not just assistance, guide dogs and the like, seeing eye dogs, but any old dog. So I think America is actually a lot more giving and generous to dogs than over here, actually. We've got insane rules. We're all safety obsessed over here.
Dr. Roger Mugford, I always have so much fun when we talk to you. We're going to have to do it again.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Bye.
Coming up, we're going to talk to this guy who put his GoPro camera on his dog and then left for the day.
I've always wanted to do that.
That's on the way.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin 3 or more times per day or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. That's 800-785-1673.
Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
Thanks for joining us. This hour, we're going to talk to a guy who loves his dog so much he wanted to find out what happens when he left. So he put a GoPro camera on his dog.
And he was surprised.
He was surprised. The dog had a little bit of separation anxiety, mm-hmm. so much so he posted it on YouTube. The video has gone viral with over 6 million views. And if you'd like to check it out before we talk to him, you can go over to our Facebook page and check it out. Joey Villani is here, dog father Joey Villani, as well as Dr. Debbie answering your calls. I got to say that Dr. Debbie on her lap today is boss, which is okay. It's perfectly fine.
He's chilling. He's being good.
He
may have something to like chime in later.
He's being very quiet.
He's being much quieter than Gurney the bird, which is all you
but
can
you
always...
know, yes. Boss is a professional. You know, he goes with me on my TV appearances, and so he's pretty chill with the whole system.
Is he union? I was just wondering, does he have a SAG card or is
as long as I pay out in dog treats, he's
dog
fine.
Dog treats, so, okay.
Under the table, right?
Yes.
Hey, Stacy.
Hi there.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. Where are you today?
Phoenix, Arizona.
Lovely, warm Phoenix, Arizona. How can we
Beautiful.
Help you?
I hope you can. I have two dogs. Both were pound puppies, if you will. One, the younger one, who is 6, from time to time attacks the older one, who is 10, both okay. male, for no apparent reason that I can determine. And the attacker has been to a behaviorist, and there was nothing to be found.
Okay.
I don't want to give up either one of them because I love them dearly. So I've chosen to keep them completely separated since the last attack 2 weeks ago. And I don't know if that's what I should be doing or if there's something more I can do.
Mm-hmm. Now, so when you say the attacks, what's exactly happening? Are we getting to where there's bite wounds and someone's getting injured
yes.
in the process?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And... you said that you can't really identify immediately before these attacks occur. We'd have to, like, rewind the memory banks and look.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything going on? Any food, items? Are you in the room? Is there a dog bed around? All those kind of things that we'd be looking at, something that might potentially be triggering
right.
the behavior.
Nothing, honestly, that I can think of. The last one 2 weeks ago, they were both outside doing their morning business. The older one was kind of standing by me. The younger attacker one was over by the wall doing his business. I looked at him, and I just instantly knew that he was going to attack. I couldn't figure out why, but I instantly knew. So I mm-hmm. jumped up and basically caught him and was able to pull him off, and I put him in a headlock for 10 minutes until he calmed down.
Wow.
That's the only time I've been able to prevent it. Every other time,
okay.
they just go at it, and I can't do anything.
So each time it's happening, you are present then?
Well, as far as I know, each time it's happened, I've been present. I don't think it's ever happened when I've not been there. And they're normally, up to this point, been together in the house.
Okay, because that's a very important piece of information here, is because if we believe with good reason, you know, that you're not coming home to find blood spots or, you know, evidence that there's been a battle when you've not been around, you are a resource, and dogs can compete for just about anything that's perceived as a resource in their environment, whether it is a food, toys, favored bed, but the human in the home is probably the biggest and the most important resource in their world, because you bring all things good. You bring the food, you bring the love and the attention. So that can, even that very subtle thing of you being present during that, that might be something that can potentially be triggering this. Doesn't make it easier, because you know, that is the heart of dealing with intra-dog aggression, is trying to figure out what's triggering this, what is actually the inciting cause. If we're led to believe that you are the resource, then that becomes a big challenge, that we have to make that a non-competition issue. You said that you have both male dogs, correctly?
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't know that you're not supposed to do two of the same sex until after, because I just saved the dog. It was unusual circumstances. So, they're male.
And actually, two male dogs generally do better than two female dogs. So anybody who's listening, we generally don't recommend the two female dogs together. Oh. And they are both neutered, I'm assuming, correct?
They are.
They are. Good. Uh-huh. Well, some of the big things that, because you do have an older dog, that kind of throws in another whole variable. And there are instances of aggression when we have an older pet. And sometimes that can be due to some changes within the dog hierarchy in the house. So, you know, maybe we're not moving as well. Maybe we've got some low-grade problems, some arthritis. There could be some perception by the younger dog that, hey, you're not the top pack dog anymore, and I'm going to move in. And mom's here. I want her attention, so I'm going to fight for that attention right now. That's very possible. The one thing I would encourage you is your older pet, just to make sure, see the vet, make sure everything is okay, that we don't have anything that we need to be addressing as far as any chronic pain, anything that could be affecting the way your older pet is getting around in the home, because that can be really difficult if we have an older pet that's just, it's kind of the survival of the fittest, and it is the animals in their wild kingdom. So that can be a real challenge. So you are somewhat right in doing the separation option, because we do need constant supervision when these guys are together. The other thing that can be helpful is if we get somebody else to help you with some guided training. So you did say you had a behaviorist, and if we could focus on different situations where the dogs might want to be competing for your attention, whether it is coming into the home, getting love, affection around the house, or even just as simple as you come in the door and you look at them. If we can have a family member or a friend work with you to practice some of the basic obedience commands with both dogs and set up a structure of practicing the sit, the stay, so that we can make sure that there's not a lot of anxiety about your comings and goings, so that they have practiced calm behaviors and they're rewarded for that. Because we don't want to have an instance where the dogs are kind of getting all excited and one's bumping or pushing and you are being guarded, or you're being the resource that we're being protected. So that takes some work. So in the meantime, separation, observation when they are together, and then working on some of those basic training commands, preferably with a leash, so that we can control the situation without getting your hands in the way. Because I admire you for the headlock, but it really, I mean, you can get injured in this, because you could be the displaced,
And I didn't think of that until afterwards, and I thought, God, that was so dangerous. But I was so wanting to save the older dog, because he just gets beat up for no reason that that I or he know about. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just wanted to prevent him from being harmed this one time, you know. So, but yeah, that was really stupid.
And then I'd say probably one final thing in close for breaking up a fight in your situation. Rather than the physical contact, I would use either the loud horns. You can slam a door, drop something, make a loud noise. If you're outside, water works wonderfully to break that up. But anything that creates a loud disturbance will help to distract them. So I would lean towards that first.
I did that, and it didn't even touch it. They just kept at it.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so just get work on the obedience and keep them separated. But when I do get them together, put them on a leash so I can be watching them both carefully.
Yes, and we want to make sure we have another person to be working with you. So if you have the ability to get either that trainer or another one working with you, because in your situation, I'm presuming that that's what the trigger for the aggression is. A lot can be learned from someone on the ground watching how the dogs are interacting. So if you haven't had great success with the one behaviorist, we might want to get another one for you and see if we can get a little bit more direction on that.
Okay, do you have some referrals for behaviorists?
At the website at animalradio.com, you can find a certified behaviorist or dog trainer, okay?
Animalradio.com. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very much.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
For every puppy purchased from a pet store or a breeder, a homeless dog at an animal shelter loses the chance of ever going for a romp in the park, chasing a ball, or feeling secure in a real home. Dogs and cats in shelters are waiting for someone kind to come along. So if you or anyone you know is ready for the responsibility of giving an animal a lifelong home full of patience, understanding, and respect, please adopt, don't shop.
And I want.
Hey, very cool thing I want to tell you about on this installment of Party Animal with your host, Vinny Penn. That's me. I'm sure you animal lovers out there are well aware of this. But for those of you who aren't, I'm very excited to bring this to your attention. My sister and her children were visiting for the past 2 weeks at the end of the summer here. And they put their new dog, Ringo, in a video kennel. And they were able to log on every day and check on Ringo. The camera was aimed right at me. I heard my nephews, Ricky and Jay, Ringo's sleeping, Ma, look at Ringo sleeping. I mean, this is great for all of those people out there who still have a little bit of paranoia when it comes to, leaving the pet behind. All you do is have the kennel owner's words when you go back. I mean, the fact of the matter is kennels are fantastic. There's more than enough loving kennels out there. But every once in a while, you hear your horror stories. There wouldn't be 2020 or Primetime Live without those kinds of horror stories. What would Barbara Walters do outside of The View? But it was great now. There was so much peace of mind. The boys were worried about the Ringo every day. And to be able to tune in the morning and watch him in action, watch him chasing a ball, was great. I mean, every day they started off in a great mood, except for the day I had to explain to them what dry humping was and why Ringo was behaving in that manner. But my sister Julie says they're going to resolve that issue as soon as they get home. But nonetheless, what a beautiful thing to be able to tune in and see him playing and log in and their video kennels. They live out in Nevada, out in Las Vegas, so you'd think the boys would know about dry humping already, especially Ricky. He's 12 and living in Vegas. But they've got to be all over. And if they aren't, they're definitely something that's going to be happening. Video kennels, it's peace of mind for a couple of dollars. Even if it's not a couple of dollars, it is peace of mind for your pet. Vinny Penn, Party Animal on Animal Radio.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. That's 800-475-3351.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
I'm Hal Abrams. Judy Francis is screening your calls. Dr. Debbie to my left, Joey Volani, straight and center, and to my right, Tammy Trujillo, working hard in the newsroom. This hour, we're going to talk to Mike the intern. He put a GoPro camera on his dog and then left the house. And we'll talk to him, find out what inspired him to do this and what kind of response he's gotten from his viral video. I wanted to read this email. This came in off our app, the Animal Radio app. You can ask your questions right from the app as well as listen to the show. This email says, "Hey, Animal Radio, I just wanted to let you know that I listen to you guys all day at work every single day."
Wow.
Yeah. "I live in the Bahamas and discovered your radio station on Live 365 Internet Radio. And of all the radio stations over there, yours is the one I chose to listen to."
Oh, cool. That's cool.
She goes on to say, "I tried calling you to tell you in person, but your line is always busy. Everybody is so determined to talk to you all. Thanks for being so awesome. Sometimes I just want to jump through the computer and slap some of the people that call you. But thankfully, Dr. Debbie knows how to handle those people just right." Kelly Albury. Thank you for listening, Kelly, from the Bahamas.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to Kelly. Thank you, Kelly, for listening.
And I guess not a lot of people know that. Both on the Animal Radio app and at Live 365, you can get 24 hours a day of Animal Radio. This would drive me crazy, but apparently is perfect for Kelly. And we head across the country to Violet. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Where are you calling from today?
We are calling from California.
Oh, very good. Is that, who's that in the background?
That's Vegas. He came from Las Vegas, and now he's in here for daycare today.
Oh, okay.
So I have a daycare, which is playground.
So what's going on with your animal? I have Dr. Debbie right here.
Someone dropped off this little chihuahua. And I've raised him now, and he's got a lot of little spots. Like, you know, I took him to get fixed, and he says he has an allergy. Well, I mean, yeah, they fixed them, but they didn't say what kind of allergy, because then they would have to do a skin thing. So I started giving him some kind of Flex Dog, which is a 3 fatty acid and an immune system. I'm seeing a little bit difference. I do the tea tree, but that's not working. So maybe... Okay. A different type of shampoo.
Okay, tell me a little bit more about this guy. How old is he?
He's only 5 months old.
5 month old, little chihuahua. And what do these areas look like on his body?
Little, just like spots of red.
And is there hair loss in the areas?
He's got hair on there. So, I mean, I don't know if there's a special shampoo should I do or.
Well, the first thing I'm going to tell you is that allergies definitely can happen in young dogs. But the truth of the matter is that seasonal allergies, inhalant allergies, are not going to be present in a doggy this young. So things that are pollens, you know, things that are blooming outside, it takes well over a year and a half of exposure to those environmental allergens for a pet to develop an allergy. So we can almost kind of just ignore that whole possibility. Mm-hmm. But we can sometimes see food allergies in young dogs. Sometimes the youngest I've diagnosed it has been a 6-month-old puppy. But typically those pets will tend to be quite itchy. You know, we have some pretty typical signs with that. In a chihuahua puppy, oh golly, at 5 months old, I will tell you.
Yeah, I understand he's high maintenance.
Yeah. The first thing I honestly would have this boy evaluated for is to check him for mites. Demodectic mites, or what they call the red mange,
they just
is quite
it was an
common.
When I took them in and then they fixed them, so they said just to do the cortisone. But
well, and if it did it help?
It does help, yeah, but every time I take him over to my mom's yard, it's I think he's allergic to the grass. Because when he comes back, he's all red again.
Okay. Well, I'm just telling you, going with the odds in a young pup of his age, even if we don't see mites on the first sampling, sometimes it does take multiple samplings. So I would just want to make sure we exhaust that. And now, this is something your vet can't do just by looking. They actually have to take some skin samples. They have to do that skin scraping, as we call it. Yeah. So if that's been done, then I'll feel more comfortable about that. But, you know, okay, so say that test is negative for your little guy. Yes, there are definitely going to be some things we're going to look at doing. And we might start with some of those colloidal oatmeal shampoos, which can be very soothing for the skin. And then I would address going into a hypoallergenic diet. I'm not really familiar with some of the brand that you mentioned.
Yeah.
But to
no
get
brain,
into
no nothing.
Yeah, and you know, grain isn't always the big problem. It's kind of a big fad in the human world with nutrition. But actually, some research studies actually have shown that some of the most common allergens in foods for dogs are things like beef, which is over 30% of the most common allergens in dogs. Dairy and wheat are followed after that. And actually, you know, corn is pretty low on the list. It's lower down. So things when we talk about grains, yeah, it could be a grain problem. But in many cases, it could be a chicken, a beef. All those other ingredients.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So you would, I'd say, pick up that phone, talk to that vet, and say, what food would you recommend? In my office, if I'm treating a food allergy, I like to go to something in a young dog like a novel protein diet. Maybe it's going to be something that's just got two ingredients. It's going to have a carbohydrate, and it's going to have a protein. My own dog is on a rabbit-based diet. Some dogs thrive really well on a fish-based diet. And the thing I'll tell you is with hypoallergenic diets, you know, it's a little bit trickier than just looking on the label and saying, is this food have that ingredient or not? Because for hypoallergenic diets, the ideal way to do this is to manage it with very limited ingredients and to make sure that we're using things that are new and novel to the pet's experiences. So, you know, I personally, as a veterinarian, I like to have some recommendations that I would throw your way. So chat with that veterinarian and make sure that we didn't have mites. And then we can talk about a little bit more about these diets. And fatty acids are great. I like that you mentioned the diet with fatty acids, but you know, I prefer to bring them in a supplement form. So bring it in a pill, bring it in a liquid, add that in so that we can control the dose and the amount, and we know that it's going to be beneficial for your little guy. Mm. Violet, I commend you. You've got your hands full with that whole crew of doggy daycare, and bless that little guy's heart, and I'm sure you're going to get him on the mend here soon. This is Dr. Debbie. If you have a question for the Dream Team, give us a call.
Thousands of authors across the country have written books and published them with Page Publishing. If you've written a book, they can help you through the process, cut through the confusion of the publishing world to make it easy for you. If they decide to publish your book, your work ends, theirs begins. From copy editing and proofing to typesetting and book cover art. Plus, get your book printed, distributed, and sold on Amazon, Apple Books, Barnes & Noble, and in bookstores across the country. They even help promote your book. Biography, self-help, mystery, novels, sci-fi, or even a children's book, no matter what genre. Page Publishing can bring your book to life. And don't forget to ask about audiobooks. We do all of this for you. Call today for your free writer's guide packed with tips, tricks, and templates to help you finish what you started.
800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. That's 800-215-6815.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
And I'm Tammy Trujillo. Well, I've got my fingers crossed on this one. New York could become the first state in the nation to ban declawing cats and all types of felines. Assemblywoman Linda Rosenthal introduced Bill A-1297, and it would ban declawing except where the procedure is medically necessary in order to treat some underlying condition. She is adamant about declawing for the sake of human convenience and to save the furniture. I gave up on the furniture a long time ago. As we now realize, this is not just removing the cat's claw, but it's actually removing the entire first joint of the cat's toe. Last summer, the American Veterinary Medical Association amended its policy about declawing to clarify that it is major surgery and describing it as an amputation, but it stopped short of advising against having it done, saying only that it should be used as a last resort to stop destructive behavior. And there are plenty of other things to try, like scratching posts and trimming nails. And then there are deterrents like sticky paws or even using plastic nail tips like soft paws. Well, animals never do cease to amaze. This one's great. In Seattle, riding the bus has to be a lot more fun because the human passengers share the bus with a 2-year-old black Labrador named Eclipse. This dog has figured out how to ride the bus by himself to the dog park. The dog's guardian is Jeff Young. He says Eclipse just started getting on the bus himself if he hadn't finished his cigarette by the time the bus arrived. That's Jeff with the cigarette, not the dog. And anyway, the dog knows what stop to get off on. And Jeff says, yeah, he just catches up with the dog at the park. Sometimes now, he says, the dog goes totally without him. Metro Transit says Eclipse really should be on a leash and with Jeff, but they say, hey, dogs are allowed to ride buses at the discretion of the driver, and provided the dogs are you know, not a hazard and not being a disturbance. Now, while this sounds amazing, Eclipse is not the only dog taking advantage, it turns out, of public transportation. Stray dogs in Moscow, Russia, have learned to commute in and out of the city from the suburbs by riding the subway, even watching out for other dogs to make sure they exit at the correct stop. I'm Tammy Trujillo. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
I'm Amy Lou Harris. Keeping a dog on a chain or in a pen is about the worst thing a person can ever do to him. It goes against everything a dog is: social, a pack animal, eager to please. Chaining a dog hurts his body and his mind. It's actually a form of animal abuse, a terrible punishment for just being born. Please look out for any dog penned or chained. Talk to people about how to keep a dog inside. Make him part of the family. Everyone will be happier. Thank you for being a dog's best friend.
Hi, this is Joy Behar on Animal Radio. Please spay and neuter your pets.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio. We're celebrating our connection with our pets this week on Facebook for the Wacky Wednesday contest. If you're brand new to Animal Radio, and it could be because we have some brand new stations listening this week, every Wednesday over at our Facebook page, we ask you to post wacky pictures of your pets. And then, of course, we get to vote on them. And the one that has the most likes or the most shares by the end of the day picks up some great prizes. This week, Judy, what do you have?
We have from Wagfield, we have dog training courses that are online. They're giving away 6 months of access to their training content at a value of $120. I guess it's $20 a month. And you can choose from three different courses. They have the Puppy 101, then they have Training Top Up, and then the last one is Rescue Refresher. So you can go online and get 6 months worth of free online training from Wagfield.
That's kind of different. Have you ever heard of that?
That's neat.
Dr. Debbie, have you heard of Wagfield?
That one, but we do use some online resources for veterinarians for obedience and behavioral training. So that's kind of cool. And I think it would be a great idea if, you know, we had some wacky Wednesday, like, dog shaming pictures.
Oh, you're one of those.
You know? Yeah. I think we should, you know, like, Fido gets into something he shouldn't, and we get a wacky photo of that. And then that would be most appropriate for this training.
Okay, well, however you want to do it, just get those pictures uploaded at our Facebook page. And you know what? I spend hours. It is such a time suck over there. I spend hours watching the videos on the Animal Radio Facebook page. And there was a video that was posted, oh, I'd say about 3 or 4 weeks now. And it showed a guy, he put this GoPro camera on his dog, and then he left for work that day. And the dog went absolutely ballistic. I figured we needed to get the guy on who put the GoPro camera on his dog. And it happens to be Mike Holmes. He's Mike the intern from 104.7 The Cave in Springfield, Missouri. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir. I host the morning show on that classic rock station in Springfield.
Oh, well, very good. So now, yeah. What's the deal? What kind of dog do you have? What's his name?
His name is Guinness.
Guinness.
Like the deer.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And he is a golden doodle.
A golden doodle, okay. Why did you feel that you had this compulsion to put a camera on him to see what happened during the day?
It was like the perfect storm. I mean, I had, it was my birthday. My buddy came over. We were going to go out to lunch for my birthday. He had just got this GoPro. We were both getting one. And his had come in the mail, so he brought it over. And we were planning on using it to record a concert that night, but he had been using it, so I said, why don't you just, let's do something where we can kill the battery on.
Sure.
And we were playing with my dog, and I was like, you know what, let's just put it on his collar and see what happens.
Oh.
So that's pretty much how it went down.
So you didn't expect the results, and the results were what?
Shocking. I mean, of course, I was heartbroken.
What happened? Tell listeners.
Well, we went to lunch, so we were gone probably about, I would say, 30 minutes to an hour. Came back, and, you know, normally he greets us at the door, and I sit down. I'm like, oh, my God, let's check out this video. So we sit down, we check out the video, and, I mean, the first, you know, 2 minutes of it, you can see him kind of getting really, you know, antsy, and I was like, oh, man. And then when he jumped on that bed and started howling and crying, he just turned six in December. And so
I've never heard him howl like that in 6 years.
Wow.
I've heard him whine when he's antsy and he wants, you know, if there are people outside and he wants to go see him or another dog or something like that. That's, you know, typical. But like that howl, I'd never heard that at all. And that just broke my heart.
Did you have any idea that he had such separation anxiety?
Well, see, the thing is, I've checked it and it's not, that was an isolated, I wouldn't say it's isolated, but I would say that it's not common. The reason he reacted that way is because my good buddy was there, and explain it, because my good buddy drives a Subaru, and when he comes over, 9 times out of 10, Guinness gets to go with us. I take my dog everywhere. And so he was there with us for a while. Aaron and I were playing, and we were just hanging out, and then we all were leaving, and I think he assumed he was going to get to go, and that was his reaction because he didn't get to go.
Have you tried the camera since then to see what his reaction is?
Yeah, there's sometimes it just kind of depends on the day. I mean, sometimes he'll go play with his bone, he'll lay on the couch and just lay on the couch, or he'll go sleep on my bed and take a nap. I mean, it just kind of depends. You know what I mean?
You should post a whole series of what happens.
The next thing we're going to, I kind of had to do some traveling around the holidays, and so I didn't want to get it because it happened right before Christmas. And I didn't want to, we had already planned on adopting another dog, but I didn't want to adopt a dog and then be out of town, you know, concurrently for the next couple of months. So we're going to wait till probably mid-spring and adopt another dog.
Well,
that's
good.
And then do a GoPro and see what it looks like.
I'm sure everybody's been saying that to you anyway, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I had a coworker that just left, and I was going to take his, one of his dogs, his wife ended up putting the kibosh, and they took it anyway. So that was their other option. But I think we're just going to adopt, which I think is better anyway.
Sure. Well, yeah. Listeners, I encourage listeners, if you haven't seen the video, to go over to the Facebook page and check it out right now. And perhaps this is what happens when your dog leaves when you go during the day.
You may not
know that. But the biggest comment there was definitely get this dog, get Guinness a friend. And so,
oh, yeah, absolutely. And that was the other part of the story is, about 3 years ago, I was living with a really good buddy of mine, and he had an English bulldog. And so they were two peas in a pod for a couple of years. And then he finally ended up getting pretty close to getting married. So he moved out to move in with his girlfriend. My girlfriend moved in. So the dogs got separated. And I think that was part of it too.
Well, I think Guinness needs a bud.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Get it?
I agree with you.
Like short for Budweiser. You'll have a Guinness and a Budweiser.
Like it. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate it, Mike, you spending time with us today and telling us. And
absolutely.
Mostly I appreciate you posting that video so people can get an idea that, you know, it's not always calm and serene when you leave the house.
Yeah, you need to, if you're a pet owner, or especially a responsible pet owner, you need to take into account if you are going to be gone or, you know, your schedule. You can't just leave them in the house and just expect, even if they're well behaved and they're not going to the bathroom or stuff like that, tearing stuff up, you still have to understand that they're waiting for you.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And you gotta be a responsible pet owner and either take them with you or get back home.
There you go. Wise words from Mike Holmes. Check him out if you're in the Springfield area on 104.7 The Cave. Thanks, Mike. And of course, you don't have to put a GoPro camera onto your animal to find out what they do. You can actually have like a nanny cam and set that little puppy up, see what happens when you leave.
I've done that too, but you know, it's mostly genital licking and ear scratching going on when I'm gone.
No, what about the dogs?
Yeah,
not
that's
your husband.
Just the husband.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Find us at animalradio.com. Log on, learn more.
Hi, this is Jamie Farr, and you're listening to the Animal Radio Network. And remember to spay and neuter your pets.
I am the family dog, and it's that time of year again. The one where pet parents start looking for Fido-friendly hotels and destinations where Fido is welcome. Make no bones about it. Pets are part of the family, and we like to sniff out new places too. And we hate to be turned away, especially when we're on our best behavior. So we won't be left out in the cold. Be sure to pick up a copy of Fido-Friendly Magazine to find the best hotels and destinations where Fido is always welcome. Go online to FidoFriendly.com and subscribe today.
Hi, I'm Ed Asner, and you're on Animal Radio. Spay or neuter your animals, you dummies.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
We just heard a story about this guy who did surgery on his own dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got it infected. He was not a veterinarian. Have you ever heard of this kind of desperation before, Doc?
Well, yeah. And you know what? Actually, I've had people do that myself. And it's, I mean, I think some of the times are definitely hard and folks are worried about money. And, you know, if there's always a problem of being able to seek out veterinary care, there's other alternatives than cutting on your own dog. So please, 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 nobody do this.
And then, of course, it had an infection. It got an infection after the home operation.
Mm-hmm.
And then so there was the expense of going back to the vet. And then I see that there was a fine. The court, they can do that. They really can do that. They can fine you operating on your own dog.
I've heard of people having that happen. If a dentist works on a dog, a person who takes their own children's X-rays at their veterinary office, I've heard of things like that where people have been actually prosecuted. So there's a clause of practice where you have to practice only on the creatures that you've learned from. Yeah. So
now, do you practice on your own animals, or are you too close to them to practice on them?
I don't personally do any surgery, but, my husband is a veterinarian as well.
Oh, that works out well.
And, I got criticized for cutting on my dog and the incision wasn't perfect.
Your husband criticized you.
Okay. So I said from there on, you get to do it all and he gets all the pressure then.
there you go. Hi, Samantha. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks for taking my call.
Where are you today?
We're in San Antonio, Texas.
Beautiful.
It's a beautiful day down here.
Oh, I bet. Well, tell us, what's going on with your animals? How can we help?
Well, we've got two wonderful labs that we absolutely adore. But
yay!
I know, they're the best. But our three-year-old black lab, Tula, has developed a taste for cat poop.
Oh, yes.
It's
wonderful fun in the dog world.
It started about a few months ago, and I've also noticed that she's gaining weight as well. So I'm wondering if it has something to do, we just moved to a new house, and there's a lot of cats around, and I'm not sure what's going on.
So is this poop from outside then, or from one of your kitties?
No, we don't have cats.
Okay, so it's outside. All right. Well, I mean, the phenomenon of eating poop is always an area of contention because we cannot, as humans, understand the motivation for this.
Yeah.
But it's a good, fun thing that dogs enjoy, and we can't understand it. In many cases, it is really just kind of a bad habit, something they find some pleasure in. The medical side of things, whether or not there is some medical reason for a dog to do this, there's some. They're not terribly common. Usually it is behavioral problems. But we do look at things like parasitism. We look at anything that might be causing any kind of more weight loss. But there are some types of cancers that can cause weight loss in a pet to eat things inappropriately, what we call pica, where not only eating poop, but they might eat other things, other objects around the house that they wouldn't normally. That might be more of a sign of something medical. If you haven't had your pet checked out recently, probably a good idea just to make sure we get a good, clean bill of health. But otherwise, you're kind of faced with the challenge of keeping doggies away from what I call kitty almond roca, which in the litter pan, that's kind of how they look. Outside, it's a little bit harder because you can't necessarily keep those neighbor's cats or the feral cats out of your pet's access areas. And you have you have feral cats around you? Are they neighbors or do you know?
They could be. Yeah, I'm sure they're a little bit of both.
Okay.
But the weight gain is what's concerning me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and any weight gain that's unexpected in a dog, whether or not they're eating poop, I would say I would make sure we look into a thyroid problem. And Labradors do like to be a breed that can develop some thyroid problems. So that would be probably number one based off of the weight gain that I would look at. Otherwise, we can also see some issues with food intolerances, where a dog doesn't do really well on a particular food. Maybe they're not digesting it well. It can affect their stool quality. They can produce gassiness. And in those situations, we might see a dog that nibbles on some feces, cat, dog, otherwise. So that could be something, too, where sometimes like a diet change can actually help out behavior of eating poop from someone else. So we might want to even consider modifying the diet and going either to a hypoallergenic diet.
She's on all organic, holistic. And I just recently made that switch. She was on Nutro, and then we switched. They created an organic product that we switched to. So,
Did that coincide with when this behavior started?
Yes, actually, kind of did.
It did. Okay.
But I can't imagine organic being more, having more calories in it or anything like that, would it?
Well, it certainly could, yeah. And I know a lot of the, some of the boutique pet stores by me, the, some of the calorie density is very different in some of the organic diets. So it could be this diet change that caused that. But even getting back to this kind of the feces eating thing too, you know, organic doesn't always mean better. It just means it's different, and the foodstuffs go through a different kind of certification, if you will. But it might just be that we need to switch back to that other diet, see how everything else stabilizes. But I would definitely say, you're a Labrador lover, get your baby checked for a thyroid problem, too, and that will give me a little bit more peace of mind on that weight gain thing. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with organic. I mean, I think it's a great thing, but if it's not working for your dog, then, you know, time to look elsewhere.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Be sure to download the Animal Radio app. You can get more of your Animal Radio fix right from the app. It's a free download for your iPhone and Android, so do it now. You can ask your questions anytime you have your questions and listen to Animal Radio anytime you want. Well, have yourself a great week. We'll catch you next week for more Animal Radio right here.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Animal Radio Network.